Hello, welcome to another episode of Everything is Canon, a Cinelinks podcast. I'm your host, Steve Duncan. However you may have found your way here, thanks so much for tuning in. On this podcast, we invite authors from all genres onto the show to discuss their latest books and novels, as well as just about anything else that comes to mind. If you want to reach me, there are several ways to do so, but the easiest is to email me at steve@cinelinks.com, or you can always find me on Twitter at SteveDunk5 or at EverythingCanon. Today in the show, I'm talking to Jen Colanita all about her latest book in the Disney Twisted Tales series, Go the Distance, which is being described as, "What if Meg had become a Greek god? After Hercules proves he's a true hero and regains his godship, all seems right in the world. That is, until Zeus tells Meg that she can't be with Hercules because she's, well, mortal. Luckily, Hera has a solution, offering Meg a chance to prove herself worthy of a spot on Mount Olympus as a god. All Meg has to do is complete a mysterious quest." This is Jen's third book in the Twisted Tales series, the first two being Mirror, Mirror, and Conceal, Don't Feel. I believe it's her best one yet. We talk about all sorts of things, including Disney revisionism, the recent trend of Greek mythology, the animated film Hercules, and of course, Go the Distance. While this is a spoiler-free discussion, the odd minor detail may slip out, so if you haven't read the book and don't wish to be spoiled, better stop listening now, but double back after you've read it. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. Another reminder, as always, that on this podcast, we encourage supporting authors and stories that affirm the lives of people other than ourselves. Each time we either engage in a conversation, whether it be online or face-to-face, if we ever do that again, or each time we participate in the market, and that goes for all year long. And even though this will air later on, I'd also like to send our thoughts to the families suffering in Atlanta, Georgia right now as a result of the brutal hate crimes committed the other day. It's not okay what's happening to the Asian American community right now, in not just in the States, but around the world. The sooner we become allies to all people of color, I think the better off we'll all be as a society. Okay. Today on the show, we're talking Disney, more specifically Twisted Tales Disney. There's three things my guest really wants you to know right off the start. Number one, she loves Disney very much. Not just Disney, but Walt Disney World. And she has this dream, weird dream of kicking Cinderella out of her castle so she can move in. She has two chihuahuas named Captain Jack Sparrow and Ben Kenobi. We'll talk about Ben Kenobi. He's my favorite Star Wars character. And as a kid, she used to hate reading and writing, if you can believe it. It's true. She struggled to find the right books at a young age, but once she figured out what her passions were, her love of reading grew. The more she read, the better she became at it. The better she became at it, the better writer she became. And once she started writing, she couldn't stop. So she got her start in entertainment journalism, where she got to interview really famous people. And eventually her job inspired her first series, Secrets of My Hollywood Life. Over the last 15 years, she's written more than 24 books about all sorts of things, mostly in the middle grade young adult categories. But she loves fairy tales, and she's been lucky enough to get to twist some of her favorite Disney versions of fairy tales as part of this Twisted Tales series. Speaking of which, she's here today to discuss her latest in the Twisted Tales series, Go the Distance, which is being described as, "What if Meg had to become a Greek god? After Hercules proves he's a true hero and regains his godship, all seems right in the world. That is, until Zeus tells Meg that she can't be with Hercules because she's, well, mortal. Luckily, Hera has a solution, offering Meg a chance to prove herself worthy of a spot on Mount Olympus as a god. All she has to do is complete a mysterious quest." Please welcome to the show, Jen Colanita. Hi, Jen.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thank you for sitting through that long intro. I always like to...
It's lovely. It was a lovely intro.
So as always during these times, you know, we have this weird just baseline nowadays. I don't know about you, but I like end every email now with hope you're safe and healthy. You know.
Yeah, same. Absolutely. Hope you're feeling well and everything's good.
Yeah. Yep. So, you know, having said that, I hope you and your friends and family are also safe and healthy during these times. And
Thank you. And yours as well.
Thank you. It's a weird time now because the transition was inevitable, wasn't it? This pandemic.
Yeah.
Talking about the pandemic now, obviously.
And I wrote a lot of this book when we first locked down too. So it was very interesting to be spending a lot of time in the underworld and then in the real world worrying you know, we're not going to wind up in the underworld. So
I was going to ask you about that because you can imagine I've asked that question many times over the past 12 months with authors and, you know, everyone's got a different way of looking at it. And, you know, I'm sort of interested to see what stories are born from this past year, you know, that come out in a year or two, right? Because these things take time, obviously. So
yeah.
I'm curious to see if it's going to be, you know, optimism, cynicism, you know, what kind of stories come out. And even some authors have just said to me, they're like, they have not been able to write a single word. They just couldn't, right. Creativity just wasn't something that, you know, came naturally to them during these dark times, I'll say. Right. Having said that, you were forced to write during it. You had a deadline. So that's a little different.
Yes. But that's motivation right there.
That's right. Like, and yours, you know, is the intro. You're several books in now, and your career is fantastic, and it's only getting better and longer. And, you know, but you're never equipped for something like this, though, are you?
No. And, you know, I have two kids, and my husband went virtual and from work. And then I had two kids working from home, too. And we didn't have enough computers at first, and there weren't enough quiet spaces to work. I wound up creating a separate office for myself in like an alcove, because I was used to being the only one working from home. And then all of a sudden I had, you know, everybody here and limited Wi-Fi and, you know, kids who needed help, and, you know, thought I was like a cafeteria worker and was going to make warm lunches every day. And I was trying to, you know, do all that and also write this book, which, you know, it was, you know, not that it's not scary now, but in those, you know, first few weeks and months when we were just learning how deadly this disease is and, you know, this virus is, and I'm trying to write about somebody traveling to the underworld. It was kind of strange. And people would say, oh, that's dark. And I'd say, you'd think so, but it actually was very therapeutic and fun to get to jump into a world that wasn't ours and spend so much time with Greek mythology and characters I loved from a film I loved, and just kind of immerse myself in that world. So I think that helped me. I mean, the deadline helped, and the fact that it was familiar Disney characters that I was putting a new spin on certainly helped. And I just tried to take on their world. So
right.
I'm thankful for that.
Right. And I don't think it's a spoiler to say that so much of this story is about conquering the darkness, you know, sort of like, you know, getting over your fears and stuff like that. So, you know, in a sense it's, you know, therapeutic and cathartic for sure. I was going to ask that in a bit, but you just mentioned it. I don't know what's going on this year with Greek mythology, but I've read it so many.
It's having a resurgence, right? I mean, I feel like everybody's into it.
Look, Lore's been on. How many weeks has Lore been on the best since it came out? Since it came out?
I don't know. And Circe. I mean, Circe was great. That was like a year or two ago. I remember reading that, you know, before I started this. And this will amuse you, but you know, my kids felt like it was important for me to get on TikTok, and I was like, really? Okay. And they're like, you should do a book talk of you unboxing Go the Distance and hashtag Greek mythology, hashtag Hercules. And I was like, okay, I have like 40 followers and I have like, you know, 7 likes when I do a video. So of course I decide to let my kids have me do this unboxing video this week. And I'm basically wearing a bathrobe and I have horrible hair. And I wake up this morning and I guess between Greek mythology and Hercules, I had like over 31,000 views. I all of a sudden have like 500 followers and 4,000 likes. And I was like, oh, this has nothing to do with me. This is Greek mythology. And now everybody has seen me in my bathrobe. So it's,
it's not a bathrobe. It's a toga.
It's a toga. Yes. That's what I was, I was dressed in costume.
Right.
For my unboxing, but perfect. Yeah, it's having a moment, Greek mythology. Really?
Including this, including Go the Distance, this has been my fourth or fifth read just in 2021. Like,
really?
Yeah, Lore, another book, a nonfiction on Greek mythology I just read. This Poison Heart by Kaylin Baron, which comes out in a few months, is heavily inspired. I mean, you can't get away from tragedy comedy, right? That's just like that's in Escape. That's just part of the DNA of writing and has been forever and always will be. But just direct Greek mythology, though, is like Zeus. I'm talking Zeus here. Something's in the water. I don't know. It's good. I've learned more about Greek mythology this year than I'm 45, and you know, so in 44 previous years, I've learned as much this year as I have that entire time. So
yeah, I mean, you and me both. I actually, when I went to write this Twisted Tale, I felt like I knew the Greek myths, but not extremely well. And I actually picked up like a dummy's guide to Greek mythology and marked it up and read it forward and backward. And right. As I said, I had just read Circe and loved it. And so that I feel like I've learned a lot, and it's just so much fun. It's like a soap opera. It's so incestuous And, you know, it's your wife, but it's also your kid. And it's, you know, like, it's just, they all have such twisted relationships when you start reading Greek myths. So I love the Disney version of it all. That's a lot of fun to play with.
Yeah. And when you, what you've done now, sort of like immerse yourself in it, things like themes, of course, just become so obvious. And then, mm-hmm. And now, you know, you're a big reader now too. It's just everywhere. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's once you, once your sort of brain adjusts, you know, and you start to, you can see the impact, right? On, it's just, mm-hmm. it's in every, it doesn't matter if it's Zeus or not. It could be, you know, reading a really good book that's coming in a few months too, Cool for Summer. And, it's a Greek tragedy. Like, it is a, but like, it's not set in Greece. It's set in America. It's a contemporary high school YA, sapphic romance story. It's great. And, but it's a total Greek tragedy. Like, it is so great. And, but it's just like, yeah. So when you start to see these things, they just sort of start, it's like a beautiful mind. Remember how he looks at mm-hmm. things and just start seeing.
Yeah, you start seeing it everywhere. Yeah. You start seeing it everywhere.
That was like, though, I blame Hitchhiker's Guide for that. Cause I read that book as a kid and then the movie came out. And so because of that, the number 42 is everywhere for me. So as soon as you pick up on that, I'm telling you, you just see it, you'll be driving around.
You see it everywhere. See 42
everywhere. But, we'll definitely get to the book here in a second, and then we'll keep it as spoiler free as possible, obviously. But I'm 1,000,000,000% behind sort of like this, another recent trend actually the last couple of years is sort of like this revisionist Disney thing that's happening too, right? Making them certainly more appealing, but more to reflect today's sensibilities, politics, all those things that change, right? Perspectives right. change, and that should be reflected in fairy tales, I think. Since you're sort of part of this revisionist sort of change in a way, would you call yourself a Disney purist? Because I've read things where like Disney's purists don't like, they don't want anything to change. So where are you in that battle of good versus evil there? I don't know. No one's evil if you're a Disney purist, by the way.
No,
I'm not saying that.
No,
but,
not at all.
But there are some people who just don't want to see any type of revision made to the old, you know, classics.
Well, I have, I have read those kind of reviews and read people online who are purists. I've loved Disney since I was a kid. And it's probably the best story to explain like what my thought is on this whole process is Disney has inspired my writing in so many ways since I was little. And as a kid, my favorite movie was Disney's animated Cinderella. And I used to cry at the end of the movie. And my mom one day noticed I was crying. And so she said to me, are you crying tears of joy? Is this because you're so happy? Cinderella got her happily ever after and she's marrying the prince and she's going off in this pumpkin coach, in her coach. And I said, no, I'm really worried about the wicked stepmother. And my mom kind of looked at me and she's like, why are you worried about her? And I said, well, I feel like she's mean, but she's not evil because she let Cinderella stay in the house. And I feel like if she goes to fairy tale jail, the wicked stepsisters are going to have no one to raise them or look out for them. And they're going to grow up and they're going to become these awful villains, so much worse than Lady Tremaine.
Right.
And my mom kind of looked at me and was like, well, this is Cinderella's story. If you want to tell the wicked stepmothers, you've got to do that yourself. And so I thought about that forever as a kid. And, you know, before I got to work on some of the Disney A Twisted Tale books, I wrote a series called Fairy Tale Reform School, mm-hmm. which is basically about the wicked stepmother apologizing to Cinderella and opening up a school for kids in the fairy tale world to learn how to not become villains. And it's run by all former villains. And so, you know, I guess I would say I'm not a purist because I've always thought it's fun to twist the story, you know, and make it something new and unique and just have fun with it. And I also always wondered like, you know, what makes a villain a villain? Are they born that way? Or is it because like wickedness is thrust upon them? So, I love the idea of twisting these stories. I love what Liz Braswell and Elizabeth Lim have done with their A Twisted Tale books. We've all done something so unique and different with every story. And probably if we could tackle each other's stories, we would do something even different from that. So I think if you're a Disney fan, it's fun to explore all sides of a story, right? I mean, it's fun to see what could happen after the movie ends, or what would happen if you just twist that one moment in the movie that exists already, which is the case with Hercules. Like, what if Zeus said to Hercules, no? What if he said, you can't be on Earth and be with Meg and be immortal? So I guess I'm a lover of all things Disney, for sure. I'm a huge Disney fan, but I also think it's so fun to get to play with the stories we know and, modernize the themes and play around with them and find ways to make them relevant,
yeah.
You know, even for 2021.
Yeah. And that's with each generation new ideas, right? New thoughts, new creative avenues. All these new things come with each generation, and to me, it makes sense to embrace that and say, here, kid, you're not a kid.
Yeah.
Like, take your shot. You know what I mean? Like, because when you look at things through the lens of, a 1930s, 40s, 50s Walt Disney, of course things are different now and certain things should change. Of course, obviously we talk about, mostly with social issues and stuff, but, two things those old Disney tales didn't really do well was deal with trauma in a real world way. And the day after was never something they liked to talk about, right? Like,
we have lost a lot of moms in some of these Disney movies. I would always say to my husband, how come, it's the mom who always dies? It's not the dad.
Right.
But
this happily ever after thing is, that's just not realistic, obviously. I mean, and we don't read these things for realism necessarily, but at the same time, one thing though we are getting is this, what happens, I'm always reminded of the Graduate. Remember the last scene on the bus, right? When they're like, they're like, oh shit, what have we done? What happens when you wake up the next morning, right? Life goes on.
Yeah.
And you got
what happens now?
And you've and in Disney's case, it's a number of things where you've got a castle that needs to be rebuilt, a country that needs to be run. In this case, talking about this, what do we do now type of thing. In your story, briefly, that quick little bio there, but Zeus has other ideas, has other plans, and true love isn't necessarily part of that. And one of the things I like that Meg faces in this story is it's not an arranged marriage, but it's kind of like this weird, her decisions are so binary, right? It's like, it's either for life or not at all.
know what I mean?
When it comes to her relationship with Hercules, right? And so that's an awful position to be put in. If you can sort of think out of it from a real world perspective, right? So this, talk about that, but also just sort of talk about the seeds of this story, where it came from, what made you think of it, and sort of all that.
Well, we always have a twist. There's always a what if question for each one of these twisted tales that takes the story in a completely new direction. And, usually like your editor and you will collaborate, you'll kind of figure out like, what is the perfect twist for this one? And with this one, I knew right away that I just, knowing what I knew about Zeus from Greek mythology, seeing Hercules spend the whole movie trying to prove he was a Greek god and then finally doing it, I couldn't see Zeus saying, sure, stay on Earth, be with Meg. And so it was like such a great jumping off point to think, well, what if he said no? What if he said no? You're sticking here with me on Mount Olympus. Meg is going back to Earth. And you have Hera, his wife, intervene and say, okay, if you really are worthy of being, Wonder Boy's one and only, then you've got to prove yourself. And so there's this great moment in the movie where Hades, which is voiced by James Woods. He basically tells Meg, like, he kind of owns her, right? He owns her. She sold her soul to save her ex. So I just kind of played around with that one line and thought, oh, can you imagine if Meg has to go on this epic quest, and this quest has to do with the underworld and seeing Hades, who she's really ticked off, and possibly having to deal with your ex-boyfriend who left you for someone else? Like, what would that story be? So it just felt like it had all the makings of a great soap opera or Greek tragedy, as you will. Mm-hmm. And then I just had fun with, reading up, as I said before, on like so many Greek myths and stories, and the 12 labors of Hercules and thinking, well, what if I took a few of those and gave them to Meg instead? And you brought Phil along for the ride, and Phil, who never really got along with Meg to begin with, now has to kind of be her guide to all things, you know, fighting monsters and creatures from Greek myths. So it just was too fun and too delicious not to to tackle. I had so much fun with it. And I think people love Meg. I think, you know, a lot of people say she's an underrated character in the Disney world. So it was so fun to get to show this very conflicted woman who was like, okay, yeah, I've met this great guy and he seems great. But, you know, as she sings in the movie,
he's a little overbearing, but
yeah,
he's a little handsy. He's a little handsy. Yeah.
And he calls me ma'am, right?
Yes. Yeah. Right. So, right.
You know, what is this relationship we really have? And, you know, do I want it? But at the same time, like, who am I? You know, like, who am I now that I'm out here in the free world again? Like, what do I really want? And so it was fun to kind of explore those themes in that story. I really enjoyed writing her and just would listen to her scenes from the movie, like her voice over and over again, to just feel like I truly had that spirit of the character in my head.
One of the things too, like, there's a lot of, I'll just say girl power in this book, which is great, which I'm here. I'm all here for it. Trust me. And the best characters in this book. But one of the things I love that you really did with Meg was you break her down. Like, you really like break her down, like, to her, you know what I mean? And then rebuild her, and in a really great and strong way, so that by the end,
she
isn't the same. Like, she's different. Right. She's new and improved. For sure, right? Mm-hmm. She's stronger, smarter, better, you know, just better at everything. Because a lot of this, she's got so much self-doubt through this entire book. And a lot of this goes back to, there's a really strong emotional element to this book. I got emotional a couple of times, especially, especially, you know, when it comes to Thea, right? And we learn about how it was for her growing up with and without a mother. That's not really a spoiler, but it's
we have to learn about her mom,
right? So I mean, and when her emotional influences are Hades and Hercules, mm-hmm. like, you're gonna be a little screwed up. So there's a lot of inner monologue with her in this book, and I thought that was some of the more just rich, resonant, emotional bits that you wrote in this book, for sure. And I love that you mentioned Phil, because Phil's great in this book. and he becomes sort of like her emotional soundboard in a lot of ways. And she, like, as she's changing into this new Meg, he's, you know, got a front row seat for it, obviously. And he's really sensitive with her. I really like the way you have Phil in this book, because, and there's the, you know, the one line about, you know, I thought you hated me, and he's like, I used to, or whatever, right? You know what I mean? And talk about that, because I think that's a really important, I mean, there's a lot of important relationships in this book, but I just, this is a journey book, though. It's a road trip book, right? So it's a lot of her and Phil, and talk about that a little bit, because I thought, like, the emotional,
so fun to have Phil.
Yeah, Phil's great.
You know, and with Phil, you know, again, hearing Danny DeVito's voice in your head as you're writing is just a wonderful way to write. Right. But, you know, Phil, like, really, at the end of Hercules, you get this impression, like, Phil is retiring. He has,
he was trying.
He was trying to retire. Yeah. You know, he's got his whole song in the movie about, like, you know, all these other heroes who have let him down. And he's not even sure he wants to work with Hercules when Hercules comes around. So, you know, he works with Herc, and, you know, he's ready to retire. And then you got Meg showing up on Pegasus and saying, I hate that I need your help, but I need your help here. Mm-hmm. I'm going on this quest and I can't do it alone, which is really hard for Meg to even say, because she's a big, tough girl. She can tie her own shoes and everything. She is not ready to, like, hand over the reins to anybody. But, you know, now they go on this emotional journey together, and these two people who kind of dislike each other in Hercules definitely don't understand who the other person is, really get to know one another. And Phil gets to see this whole new side of Meg, and sees how much she doubts herself, sees how much she's struggling, and he really helps her on this journey. And by the end, you can see they have, like, this real attachment to each other. And as he gets to meet different people from Meg's life, he sees how she became the person he met in Hercules, like what shaped her, what moments really shaped her. And he becomes invested, like we all do. Like I felt like even I was becoming invested. So for me, I almost felt like I was feeling away, like I was really getting to know Meg and, you know, thinking, oh, she does not have the chops to do this. And then all of a sudden realizing, oh, wow, she does. She can really surprise me, and I want her to win. I want her to succeed on this like road trip, this epic journey. And right. She's going to screw up, and she does. But she learns from it every time, and he's there to see that. So I feel like he's a great, he is her sidekick in a way in this, but he's her mentor. He is, as you said, he's her sounding board, her voice of reason, and it's fun to have them play off each other.
Right. Again, I mentioned it briefly there, but this her relationship with her mother Thea is like, mm-hmm. you know, key, right? And and you do a lot of, we do some time jumping where we, you know, occasionally you'll sort of flip back in time at a different point in Meg's young life. Again, yeah. like I said, with and without her mother. And, you know, so much of how Meg grows as a person, it's sort of a classic idea where, like, you know, she wants to reject this notion that stuff that happened before means anything, but it means everything, right?
It does. I mean, and you know, I know sometimes people go back and forth like, oh, flashback, but these are so necessary in this story to just kind of learn, you know, we meet Meg, she's a woman, she's gone through a lot, but if you want to get to know Meg, you also have to know where she's come from and what her relationship was with her mother and who her mother was and what her mother tried to show her. And so there are certain situations that really shape Meg's worldview. And a lot of them do involve her mom and the people she encounters as a kid. And she spends a lot of her life alone before we, you know, stumble upon her. And she's now kind of owned by Hades. It's a big part of her.
Yeah. And Meg's like a lot of us where, you know, you tend to focus or only remember maybe, you know, the bad stuff. You don't, you know, and that, right. of course, is that's a very all empowering emotion, right? Mm-hmm. And then when you get some clarity, you start to remember, yeah, you know, actually my mom sort of did move mountains just quietly. And it's an important relationship. And I got to ask, you know, the temptation of the reunion aspect, you must have struggled with that. Cause it's cause as a reader, you get to a point in the book where you're like, okay, they're both in the same place at the same time.
Yes. Right? You know that, you know, not to give too much away, but the underworld scenes were really hard because, you know, Meg lost her mom at a very young age. Yeah. And so if she's traveling through the underworld, you want her to connect with her, but you know, there are rules to the underworld and there are reasons why you can or can't see someone while you're there. Right. And so Meg encounters a few different people down in the underworld, including a child. Mm-hmm. And so like my editor and I really struggled with like who she can see, who she can't see, you know, what kind of effect she can have on all of them there. Because, you know, you have to wonder if, you know, losing someone close to you, if you see them again, are you going to be willing to leave the underworld? You all think like, oh yeah, you know, of course. But you have some strong ties there. So, you know, it's hard without giving anything away.
Right.
But, you know, just, you know, that it was very difficult. Some of those scenes I rewrote a few times, just trying to figure out like, why would she or wouldn't she interact with certain people down there? So,
I mean, the decision that you make is the most practical one. for sure, because you got to get someone out of there. I understand, but yeah, as the read, I was just thinking, I'm like, man, I bet she struggled with that one.
Did. I mean, you know, I mean, you read a lot of books and yeah. I read a book called Miss Benson's Beetle by Rachel Joyce, and I loved it. And a character doesn't get the ending I wanted at the end. And I read the author note afterward. And when I read the author note, I was like, okay, I get why. Like there's, you know, sometimes like not everybody gets their happily ever after. Not everybody gets everything they want, but.
It's a weird mix of like, especially as a reader, because like, I mean, you know, you read enough books, especially, you know, if you read enough YA, you kind of tend to know where things are going, right? Early on or whatever. And there's only like, you know, so many tropes, you know what I mean?
So
when the author subverts that in any way whatsoever, even maybe it's not the ending your heart wanted, but at the end and after you've sat with it for a bit, after you finished reading it, you're like, oh, that was great. You know, that was great. Yeah. Like maybe X didn't end up with Y or whatever, but
what a
great little, you know, trickery at the end there. and speaking of like, you know, subverting sort of things, Hades, kind of like him at the end a little bit.
I, he's been humanized a bit. He's got a relationship of his own in here.
You gave him a big gift there with that. And those are made for wonderful, like, just, you know, two different, you know, talk about two different personalities, but just finding each other and seeing something in one another that nobody else sees, right? It's just like opposites attract, I guess.
Yes. And you know, and again, that was fun to pull from the Greek myths and play around with it a little bit and be like, well, what if it happened this way?
Yeah.
What if, you know, this, you know, Hades story happened this way? And and I will say, for readers, you know, I'm so excited that they, you know, get this book anywhere they can get their book, the library, you know, any of their favorite independents, anywhere. But I will say the Barnes and Noble edition of this book includes an extra chapter of the book, written by Persephone. So if you know anything about Greek myths, that was a lot of fun to get to do as well.
Right. Oh, very cool. I'm going to have to get my hands on that one then. or I'll just get Disney to send it to me. Who am I kidding?
Yeah. You might enjoy that.
So, this is your third Twisted Tale now.
How do they
compare from now? You're three in now. Have you changed the way you approach these things at all? You kind of just have that nice, you feel like you're in a good groove, a good formula, and you want to, how has it changed at all since the first one?
You know, what's so funny about that is, each time it's so completely different because it really depends on the movie that the book is based on. And so with Snow White, I was always terrified of the Evil Queen as a kid. Like I would not, you know, there used to be a ride at Walt Disney World called Snow White Scary Adventure. And it was called Scary Adventure. And I remember our first trip to Disney World, I was six and I told my mom, I am not going on. You can see the Evil Queen in the window. And she's like, no, it's fine. She won't be in the ride. And basically the whole ride was being in the woods and, you know, it's the Evil Queen and the hag. And I was terrified. So when I wrote Snow White, to get to play around and tell it from Snow and the Evil Queen's point of view was like therapeutic and also so much fun to give, you know, the villain a backstory that could help me understand who she was. Mm-hmm. And then with Frozen, like Frozen is, you know, probably one of my favorite contemporary, like, you know, recent year Disney films. Like I've always been a big Anna fan. You know, we joke around that I'm very much like Anna. I talk too much. I'm a little bit clumsy sometimes. I'm, you know, bubbly. So to write that was fun.
Did you read the Dangerous Secrets? And
oh, yeah, yeah. And, so Dangerous by Mary Mancusi.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I love Mary, huge fan of Mary's. And I like texted her after I finished it. And I was like, I cried and cried, you know, she and I talk about Frozen, you know, all the time. We will just have a text chain going because we are both huge Frozen fans. And it's fun to think, well, what if this happened? What if that happened? And now with Hercules, it's, you know, it's completely different. Hercules was my oldest son's favorite Disney movie. So when I told him I was doing it, he's like, oh, this is going to be so great. Like that was like one of his favorites. So we just watched it again and again. And I will say it's one I didn't know as well as some of the others. So, you know, each time it's just this exciting gift, you know, for a Disney fan to get to touch one of the Disney movies and play around with it and give it a twist, like feels like my own little personal Oscar, you know, like I just love the chance to get to work on anything Disney. As I said, I truly love it.
I'm just looking at the list of Twisted Tales here. I've read, you know, 80% of them roughly. And
there's so many great ones.
Just looking at them. And I'm just trying to like, it's hard right now. I have to spend some time after, but like what's left, you know, what stories are left to tell here. And I'm just, you
well,
know,
Rapunzel is next.
Right.
So, Liz Braswell is working on that. The cover was just released.
Yep. That comes out. That's out in September this fall. Is there anything left that you would, without revealing, you know, if you've been signed up or anything, is there any, what Disney store movies or tales are left that you'd love to tackle?
Oh, well, you know what? I mean, there's so many, and we talk about that all the time. Yeah. You know, like I'm a huge, you know, we've got this Cruella book coming out from Disney by Maureen Johnson coming out, which I can't wait to read.
But I read it. It's good. It's an origin story kind of, right? So it's good.
I can't wait to read it.
Right. As it's good because there's no, you know, dog murdering or
yes.
so it's like, I don't want to get to that part, but I like that. I'll read the stuff before. Yeah.
I mean, I'd love to see 101 Dalmatian Twisted Tale. My youngest was like, oh mom, what if you did a Tarzan Twisted Tale? And I was like, ooh, that could be really fun.
Nice.
You know, and then you start playing around with some of the more modern movies, like Enchanted is like one of my favorites. And now we're getting Disenchanted is going to be a movie. And so I feel like that could be so fun to play with Giselle, because we don't get to see a lot of Giselle in the animated world. And we don't get to see what happens when Dina Menzel and James Marsden's characters go back to the animated world. So like, there's so much there I'd like to play with. But I also, I have a new Disney middle grade series that's coming out in the fall called The Lost Legends. And, you know, I've always loved Tangled, and Liz Braswell is doing the Tangled, A Twisted Tale, but I'm doing Flynn Rider's origin story for a middle grade book. So it's rise of Flynn Rider and how Eugene becomes Flynn. So I feel like, you know, it's fun to get to work on any Disney story. And that was particularly fun to spend time just inside a 12-year-old Eugene Fitzherbert's head. and so, you know, I'm up for anything. Let's put it that way. I'm always up for trying anything Disney related.
Right. So by the time this airs, the book will be out. So please, everyone, buy this book however you can. Yeah, I don't like to support pandemic profiteers necessarily. So support your local indie stores if you can.
Absolutely.
There's plenty online. Bookshop.org obviously is a great resource if you're not close to a shop. Get this any way you can. I had a lot of fun reading this book. Like I said, I thought, and it's funny how I remember more and leaned into more the emotional beats and rhythms of this book. And I think there's some really, really great stuff, especially in the second act. I love the second. I really love the second act of this book.
I really appreciate that.
Thank you. I think it's really, really, really heartfelt. And like I said, I think as a reader reading this, and you really get inside Meg's head and start to understand her in a way, you know, never thought before. And this goes back to what we were talking about, right? Like people, great writers like you and Liz getting a chance to talk about what happily ever after looks like. and it's not always it's not always happily, you know, it's some, you know, there's, it's like life, there's ups and downs. So, you know, I really love that you guys get a chance to tell these stories in this unique way and add that extra depth, that extra layer of emotion to it. So I can't recommend this book enough. I hope people pick it up. So Jen, thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate it. Well, I'm going to connect. We're going to talk in the fall then. I'm going to check out this new series you were talking about.
Yes, please check out The Lost Legends and The Rise of Flynn Rider.
All right, we're going to check that out, and then we'll connect in the fall for sure. So thank you so much, Jen. Enjoy the rest of your day, and I hope it goes well, and I hope the rest of the year goes well for you.
Thank you. You as well. Stay safe.
There you have it, another episode of Everything is Canon all wrapped up. Huge thanks to Jen for taking the time to chat with me today. Go the Distance is a fun take on the Hercules Meg story, but also has a heartfelt message about family and sacrifice. If you're a fan of these books, you won't be disappointed. Go the Distance is out now, so head on over to JenColonitaOnline.com to find out more, including how to get your hands on a copy. As always, be sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you choose to listen, and head on over to CineLinks.com for the latest movie, TV, books, and gaming news. Please continue to be safe out there. Bye for now.